Hello, this is Weekend Let's Hear It. I'm Kara LaRance. Thanks for joining me. Tomorrow at 2 p.m. at Portage United Church of Christ, a group of prominent local musicians will gather to present a program called The Reason Why We Sing, a free lecture recital advocating for the recognition and inclusion of Black American sacred music. It was the idea of Monica Washington Padula, who grew up performing in her Lansing church from the age of 7. She has a master's degree in music from Western Michigan University and is a versatile performer of keyboard, saxophone, and voice. Along with singers Rhea Olivace and Carmen Bell, pianist Rufus Ferguson, and the Lansing-based Earl Nelson singers, Padula reached out to Dr. Romeo Phillips, the respected Kalamazoo College professor emeritus of music and education. Now 91 years old, he remembers hearing stories from his great-grandmother, who had been enslaved on a Mississippi plantation. A trumpet player before his academic career, Dr. Phillips became interested in the sacred music of Black America by attending choral concerts presented by Black colleges that visited his Chicago hometown. When he joined the faculty at Kalamazoo College in 1968, Phillips and his colleague Clarence Small founded the Afro-American Chorale. Dr. Phillips and Monica Washington Padula previewed their Saturday program with me in the Takeda Performance Studio at WMUK. It was engineered by Martin Clem. At the start, Washington Padula explained that the preservation of this music, which she said has come close to being lost and forgotten at times, requires as much care and attention today as before.
And I think it's so important to present the music as something that we should be proud that we have been able to hold on to through such a long period of oppression, and something that we can be proud that we've maintained and that we still receive affirmation, encouragement, and the ability to express our emotions from a religious view, our praise. We can still use these songs and the ways that we perform music in a contemporary way to express these things. And so that's why I try to bring some of us together in a space so that we can perform and express this music in a way that is authentic to us and in a way that has meaning to us, to show that it's not for entertainment. It's to advocate for the preservation of something that really carries the souls of Black folks in it. And I really believe that.
So at this lecture recital tomorrow, we'll hear lots of examples of spirituals. And Dr. Phillips, you're bringing a great deal of understanding to this tradition.
The traditional spirituals are divided into three sections. The first for worship, because the plantation owners used to gather enslaved Africans on Sunday afternoon, and they would read from a book, which we now know was the King James Version of the Bible. So that's where the religious element came. Second, for emotional support, there were no psychiatrists, clinical psychologists, et cetera, et cetera. So the songs help people adjust to the reality. And third, signals for escape. That's when I said they were illiterate but not ignorant. So I will be singing an excerpt from one of the particular songs when an individual had been whipped, and he did not feel sorry for himself, but he knew that that was a power greater than the plantation owners. Now, you know, I never used the term master, because no one was a master. They were plantation owners. So the particular excerpt I'm going to do is an arrangement by Hall Johnson. I'm going to tell God all of my troubles when I get home.
This is Weekend Let's Hear It. We're going to hear a portion now of a spiritual performed by Dr. Romeo Phillips and Monica Washington Padula.
I'm gonna tell God all of my troubles when I get home. I'm gonna tell God all of my troubles when I get home. I'm gonna tell him about my trials, all my hardships, my self-denials. I'm gonna tell God all of my troubles when I get home.
That was just amazing, both of you. Such feeling, and I know you're 91. What a beautiful voice you still have, you know.
Thank you.
I like to say that, you know, we are blessed to continue to learn history and continue to hear Dr. Phillips' interpretation, you know, of the spirituals as he has learned and learned to preserve it. I think it's a blessing. When Dr. Phillips was discussing about literacy, you know, historically, not only did we not read printed work or printed literature, but I realized that part of the skill of playing by ear comes from that tradition of listening to the music orally and being able to pass that along. And so that has kept, I think, a lot of our styles of music alive, thriving, creative, and fresh. Our sacred music has been so influenced by our secular music. It's the same people would go from the church and they would go into the clubs in the evening and play and enjoy themselves and be entertainers. And so that music went wherever we went. So much has been preserved, passed on, and carried, shape-shift and transformed name-wise. But again, I like to refer to, I know this is the title of the book by W.E.B. Du Bois, The Souls of Black Folk. I have heard people describe Black American sacred music as having that soul, the soul of the Black experience. And I really think that is so true. And so when we move into non-sacred musics that were originated by Black American folks, like blues, rock, country, jazz, we look at these forms and the ways that they're represented today. And I think, as you mentioned before, that it has inspired almost every form of American music. Giving that acknowledgement, as Dr. Phillips said, shows that we may have at one time been illiterate, but we were not ignorant. We've always been creators and collaborators and coming up with very creative works of art. And so one thing that I think is really cool that we can do nowadays is that we can put styles together. I like to merge the spiritual with a gospel jazz expression and interpretation, because those were all the parts of the casserole that I had when I attended my church. We can take all these styles that we contributed to or and originated and put the spiritual a bit in the middle of it, so it's still in there, but we've expanded and moved along as we do, as we continue to evolve and add more instruments and also get inspiration from other styles.
Many of the people who were blues performers, for example, Thomas A. Dorsey, they call him the father of gospel music, you know, his precious Lord. He was a piano player for Ma Rainey. Ma Rainey was a blues singer, and let me say this, a house of entertainment. Is that proper to say? And Thomas A. Dorsey, he had an epiphany after his wife died, and he decided to turn his music to the church in Chicago. And he incorporated many of the blues progressions. Of course, you know, what the spiritual is based on the pentatonic scale, do, re, mi, sol, la. And he got things started. And the accompaniment with many gospel music is very, very important. Otherwise, it is not as effective. And then, of course, you have several people who started out as instrumentalists and singers who switched over. A good example is a woman named Sister Rosetta Tharpe. She sang with the Lucky Millinder Band. And she would play in the nightclubs on Saturday night and then go to the church on Sunday. So we are pretty flexible people.
I see that. And our music goes where we go.
Yes.
Earlier, you said that there are three categories of Black American sacred music worship. Second is emotional support, and the third is signals for escape. And we're going to move on to another famous piece now, Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child.
That fit into the second category.
Emotional support.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say a quick word about that song. I listened to, growing up, those that knew that I also played saxophone would try to, you know, give me the music of other saxophonists to inspire me. And someone gave me the Kirk Whalum Gospel According to Jazz CD. Kirk Whalum is an amazing saxophonist. And on that CD, he incorporated some spirituals into jazz, into his performance. And so it's more of jazz gospel performance. But I'll never forget, I heard an interpretation of Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child. And I believe it was done by him and his brother, who is a vocalist. And listening to them share the lines back and forth on the instrument versus the voice. And then, of course, they had the band backing them up. I mean, I never forgot that. And that's an inspiration that I didn't realize I was carrying around with me until I began preparing for this program. And I realized in talking with you that some of my ideas for arrangements were a bit different from what you might have had in mind. And it came to me how much influence the time that I grew up in and the musics that I was influenced by at that time, even within the religious sphere, how much impact that had on how I choose to arrange songs and how I choose to arrange the spirituals. And so we need ways to be able to express how it makes us feel. We need ways to express how we intend to continue to be resilient as others were resilient before us. We need ways to express that we still have a belief in a faith and a being that is going to, that sees the value in us and that doesn't forsake us based on how others treat us. And we have that continued need to express to others that are going through the same thing that they're not alone. And so in that way, I still find that the three values and the three principles that those spirituals were based on, we've shape-shifted and included that into our music today, and we still use some of those same values, even though the music has evolved. And so I can find a lot of comfort in this song, even though I have a mother, and I have a couple mothers because I'm adopted. But even though I have a mother, I understand what the song is saying, and I can feel the feeling of the person that's telling that story. Maybe not in the same way, but I feel like those emotions and those feelings carry on and that they're passed down, you know, to us throughout the generations. So I get a lot of support and comfort from this song, as well as I imagine you might.
We're going to hear Monica Washington Padula and Dr. Romeo Phillips on WMUK's Weekend. Let's Hear It.
Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. A long ways from a home, a long ways from a home. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Recorded live in our studio, that's Monica Washington Padula on saxophone and singer Dr. Romeo Phillips. And they're here in the studio today to preview a program that will be held tomorrow called The Reason Why We Sing, a free lecture recital advocating for the recognition and inclusion of Black American sacred music. It will be held at 2 o'clock at Portage United Church of Christ. As you were saying before, Black American sacred music is enormously flexible, and it holds and carries all kinds of different meanings.
Well, let me add to that. I said there are three forms of them, traditional or spiritual, and the third one signals for escape. So please visualize an individual as experiencing the ability to escape. Now, Harriet Tubman, or the other what we call the conductors of the railroad, would come into a plantation. And what they would do, they would tell all of the enslaved Africans, after dark, get in front of the big house and start singing and dancing for the plantation owner and his family, but also the patrollers, they call them paddy rollers, would be there too on horseback. They will not be patrolling. And enslaved Africans and other plantations were aware of this too. Now, the particular conductor would plant himself or herself at a certain section of the group, and he or she would sing this, the song for them to get away. Then the patrollers would notice that an individual had left. And so they said, well, what we'll have to do, we'll call out the dogs. The dogs would get the scent and pick it up. And then they had to give them a signal to get off the trail into the water. And that's what the song. Wade in the water, wade in the water, children, wade in the water. God's going to trouble the water. Then they would get in the water, and they may walk 100 or 200 yards in the water. And, of course, the dogs would be thrown off because they could not pick up the scent in the water. Then the patrollers would come back to the plantation, and the rest is history.
We'll continue with Monica Washington Padula and Dr. Romeo Phillips. The event again is Saturday at 2 o'clock at Portage United Church of Christ. It will feature guest artists such as Dr. Rhea Olivace, Carmen Bell, Rufus Ferguson, Terrence Smith. And once again, here's Monica Washington Padula. That's Monica Washington Padula here at WMUK in our Takeda performance studio with Wade in the Water piano arrangement. And Monica, I can't help but think of you playing for a congregation.
Well, it's really a part of my journey as a musician. I started playing in my church actually because there was there was a lack of a musician. And I was young. I was between 7 and 8. I started studying at 7. And so because I could read music, that meant that any of the hymns that were played out of the hymnal, I could read them. Now, with that, I went and I've played for different denominations, and I've always carried with me how I learned how to accompany inside of the Black church experience. So that means that, you know, I don't play timidly. I play with a full use of my, I guess, my finger power. I use a lot, too, of my classical background in what I play. I love arpeggios. I put them anywhere that I can, anywhere that makes sense, a little show off here and there. But the root of it is that I've learned to accompany in a gospel style in a way that adds rhythm when I don't have any rhythmic element to support me with a percussionist. And so that has been basically a part of my life.
It's going to be a very special event, Saturday at 2 o'clock at Portage United Church of Christ. This brings together Monica Washington Padula, Dr. Romeo Phillips, singers Dr. Rhea Olivace and Carmen Bell, the jazz pianist with the gospel background, Rufus Ferguson and Terrence Smith on drums, and the Earl Nelson singers. It's a great opportunity. Refresh your knowledge and learning and love of Black American sacred music on Saturday in this free event. And we're near the end of our time together. There is one last selection I'd like to ask you about and maybe have you perform, Dr. Phillips. It's called No More Auction Block.
Well, visualize, if you will, an individual who has made it through the Underground Railroad, say to the city of Detroit, where he was taken. This is an actual thing that happened, taken to the Second Baptist Church, which is in downtown Detroit, Greektown. Second Baptist Church is, they claim to be the oldest Black congregation in the state, because there's a congregation in Cass County who challenged them. But inside the undercroft, there's a hole dug in the wall, large enough to fit an individual who may be better than 6 feet tall. Then they put up a border in front, just in case one of the bounty hunters came looking. If you remember, it said that any enslaved African found in a free state could be returned to the original plantation. And then with the particular law that was passed, the Fugitive Slave Act in 1850, said that any individual who assists an individual to run away and hide, that person could be prosecuted. So at the Second Baptist Church, with one fellow in particular, I'm thinking his name is Joseph Bulger, my wife's grandfather, who made it there, and then under cover of darkness, they took him to the Detroit River, which is about 100 yards or so from the church. Then they rode him over to Windsor. Now, if you remember during the Revolutionary War, the British said that any slave who makes it to their shores would be free. And this continued after the Civil War. So visualize, if you will, an individual standing on the shore of Windsor, which is about a mile away, looking over to Detroit, realizing that no more would he or any members of his family be placed on an auction block. No more will he be whipped, and no more will a pint of salt. Now, if we say a pint of salt, an individual who is found would be stripped to the waist, whipped with a cat of nine tails, and then the plantation owner would throw salt into the wounds and turn to the other enslaved Africans and say, "Now, you may run away, but we'll catch you and bring you back, and I have a pint of salt for all of you." No more. No more. No more.
driver's lash for me. No more, no more. No more driver's lash for me. Many thousand gone. No more pint of salt for me. No more, no more. No more pint of salt for me. Many thousand gone.
Dr. Romeo Phillips, it's been an honor to have you in the studio with us. I'm so glad you brought your voice with you as well. And Monica Washington Padula, thank you for spearheading this concert and bringing all of your many talents to this project that I hope lots of people will come and witness on Saturday at 2:00. If you have any final thoughts about this performance and putting it together, please share them.
The main thing that I want to say is just there's such a rich history. And it's not just a history. It's a way to remind us of how beautiful and resilient we are as folks of African descent that have the history of being here through the long time of enslavement. And I think that when we take the time to really acknowledge how much we've come through, how we've persisted, and how we've just kept song alive for that amount of time, and the inherent value that we have always had, I think that is my main theme. And with that, I'm very grateful for those that took the time to preserve this song so that folks like me and others could benefit from it and feel that as long as we have this, we're going to be okay.
Monica Washington Padula is a musician and educator in Kalamazoo. Dr. Romeo Phillips is a professor emeritus from Kalamazoo College, where he taught music and education. Information on tomorrow's event is at our website, wmuk.org, where you can hear the full studio session with Ms. Padula Washington and Dr. Phillips. I'm Kara LaRance. Have a great weekend.